Hitting the Hardwood. From mock drafts to summer league, every detail that is the NBA draft can only be heard here. Hitting the Hardwood with DeShawn Tate and Gordon Robinson.
Welcome in, welcome in. You hear the sounder before you. That's none other than me right here, DeShawn Tate. They call me D Tate, my boy G Rob. Welcome everybody to what you're listening to right now. Hitting the Hardwood for the next 30 minutes. Appreciate you guys for joining us, talking any and every single thing that you can look forward to in the coming week, all the way up through the summer league. The best of the NBA draft content on the continent is what we like to call it, the basketball buffet. 30 minute podcast, man. Appreciate everybody for listening. Let's go ahead and jump right into this thing, G-Rob, because we teased this last week, and I like to go ahead and get right into the meat and potatoes of it because I'm so excited. A little bit more than 2 weeks away from where a lot of young men, 60 young men, are going to be living out their dreams and going to be hearing their names called out in the 2018 NBA draft in Brooklyn. Now, I'm going to let you go first, man, because I'm not type of gentleman like that. But I just want to be clear that these are our mock drafts. This is just according to the needs of the teams that are going to be picking, what we would do if we were in that front office position. And personally, since we're the draft experts, just a bunch of stuff that's going to be making a whole lot of sense.
Well, not just that, man. I also threw in the fact that some of these franchises can't get out of their own way. And I believe that they're going to make draft picks based on a lot of hype. And if that hype is, you know, is too much for them, they'll make the pick, and sometimes it might be bad for them, but they will make that pick anyway. So sometimes just knowing that some teams are snake bitten, that's what they'll do. I threw that factor in as well, man.
I might be in the wrong field, man. I might need to be a GM of some sort or an owner and put my little 2 cents in on what teams should do when it comes to taking draft picks, man, because we seem to be pretty good at this stuff. I hate to be the dude that's toot my own horn, but you know what? I'm going to channel my inner LeBron James and kind of toot my own horn a little bit.
They're going to break out the G League down here. You know, you can start out over at the I think they might have the College Park Hawks, you know.
Whatever. Oh, yeah, that's right. You know, that's right. Yeah, in the 2019-20 season, or 2021 or something like
you
that.
Jump in the pool, get your feet wet, and then show your shine, and man, and move on up the ranks.
I'm going to have to check into that, holler at the folks in the front office of the Atlanta Hawks. G-Rob, man, 2018 NBA mock draft. Let's hear it, G-Rob style.
Well, Phoenix is on the clock, and if you all know, you know, it doesn't take a genius, you know. Going to go with the boy DeAndre Ayton. I believe that's just where they'll start off. I mean, he would be the number one pick. And then from there, I got Sacramento taking Luka Doncic. Once again, we talked about the snake big teams that I think that they'll fall into the hype, and they believe that this guy is all of that and a bag of chips. And I believe they'll pick him up. I believe the Hawks, if that move is done, the Hawks will take Marvin Bagley, who we've talked about is probably the most pro-ready guy. And then from there, I got Memphis taking Jaren Jackson. And number 5, I have Dallas taking Mo Bamba. 6, I got Orlando with Michael Porter Jr., which is, once again, I think is another franchise pick that I think they fall into the hype. Number 7, I have the Chicago Bulls taking Wendell Carter. At 8, I have Cleveland taking Colin Sexton. At number 9, I have the New York Knickerbockers taking Trae Young. At 10, I have Philly taking Michael Bridges. At 11, I got Charlotte taking Kevin Knox. With the 2 picks, the LA Clippers was with the 12 and 13 picks. I got the Clippers taking Robert Williams from Texas A&M, and then Gil Alexander out of Kentucky.
Okay.
And then number 14, I've got Denver picking up Miles Bridges.
That's not bad. That's not bad at all. Mine's going to look a little bit different than yours, with the exception of the number 11 pick, but let's get into that right now. I always felt like it was a 1A, 1B type deal between Marvin Bagley the third and DeAndre Ayton personally. I just think that Marvin Bagley is going to eventually probably be the best pro that's in this draft. But I got him number 2 to Sacramento. Number 1, I think the consensus would not argue that Phoenix Suns would take DeAndre Ayton, especially considering the familiarity with him playing in the Phoenix area. That said, I just don't think that Sacramento can afford to miss on a pick like a Marvin Bagley. Furthermore, the Atlanta Hawks picking Jaren Jackson, the Memphis Grizzlies picking up Wendell Carter Jr. I know that might seem a little bit high to a lot of people. I want to explain one thing to you people who are listening there about a guy like a Wendell Carter. Like, he is as sure of a thing of a longevity NBA career to an Al Horford as there possibly is.
You know, I'm high on the guy. So, yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk about him a little bit later because he has some things to say within the last couple of days, earlier this week as well. At number five, we've got the Dallas Mavericks taking Mo Bamba. Number six, Orlando desperately needs a point guard. So I've got Colin Sexton there. Number seven, Michael Porter Jr. with all of his health issues. Number eight, the Cleveland Cavaliers joining LeBron James or not joining LeBron James. They got to fill seats. I'm going to take Trae Young right there. The New York Knicks, I'm going to go Mikal Bridges from Villanova, one of the very few players one of the very few players that's in this draft that has two national championships. At number 10, the Philadelphia 76ers, I'm going to add Miles Bridges from Michigan State to that list, or that roster, rather. Now, here's where we definitely agreed with, at number 11, the Charlotte Hornets picking up Kevin Knox from Kentucky.
Right.
A big guy that can shoot it, real strong, and just has a lot of different things to his repertoire that he can kind of do and certainly improve on, but that he does pretty well for a guy of his age, especially considering his size. Number 12 is probably where it's probably going to get a little bit dicey because there's one name that people haven't heard yet, and that name is Luka Doncic, and I think that's where he falls all the way down. I think he's been sliding a little bit personally. Not something I know for sure, but in Tate's take, mock draft, he slid all the way to number 12. He slid out of the top 10.
Side note, DeSean Tate is not very high on Luka Doncic. Neither is G-Rob. I'll say that.
In case you've been living under a rock and haven't been listening to the last umpteen podcast here on Hidden Hardwood. At 13, again, back-to-back picks for the Los Angeles Clippers. I'm going to go with Gary Trent Jr. from Duke as well. Mm. And then at number 14, the Denver Nuggets. That's where I take Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, which is probably the weirdest name in the NBA draft, if you ask me. So of those things, is there anything from either one of our lists that you've kind of pinpointed or anything that kind of stuck out to you in any way?
Well, I got a question for you. In terms of your Gary Trent Jr. pick, is that – have anything to do with what Wendell Carter had to say or that we'll speak about in the next few minutes, or is that just how you felt in terms of his performance?
I'm not really sure of any and everything that he has done in terms of his workouts so far, but I just think that he is potential NBA pro. Reminds me a lot of, in some ways, like a Gary Harris that's over there in Denver. I think that there's something about his size, and let's go ahead and get right into it. We're talking about Wendell Carter, what he said, which we're going to sum it up here, was basically the equivalent of how, you know, his teammates from Duke are going to, you know, shine a little bit brighter on the NBA stage versus what they
did. He said Coach K been holding us back, man.
In so many words. And, I mean, that's kind of, you know, it's kind of hard to argue that considering, I mean, whoever would have thought that Donovan Mitchell was Donovan Mitchell based on what you only saw at Louisville where they embrace defense the way that they do. And you could say that about, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I knew that Jason Tatum was a ball player, but nobody can tell me that the Jason Tatum that you see now Jason Tatum that you saw at Duke, though.
I saw it, though.
You saw it at Duke.
We checked the records. We talked about it last year. I was very high on Jason Tatum.
We did, but a lot of that is also based on some of the stuff that you saw a little bit during high school as well.
True.
And we did see, you know, quite a bit of him being able to fit into a system that fit him. I'm not sure if Duke was that system that fit him. And, I mean, we could say that for a lot of different players. And that's not a knock on what you saw, because you saw what you saw and you called it out then.
But
and so give all credit to G-Rob.
To Wendell Carter's testament, though, he pretty much is saying that these young guys come to a school as a collective unit to buy into what the system is doing, to buy into what coach is doing. And you come together for the sake of winning a championship. And that's what a real team does. Sometimes Kentucky gets lost in its own sauce a little bit because they come together to showcase themselves instead of coming together to become a collective unit to win a championship. So in that mind frame, yes, some guys are going to be underwhelming, and they're not going to be the guy that you thought they were going to be, Duval. But but it happens because he's coming in and he's trying to run the system. Instead of coming in and trying to showcase myself and basically show the pros what I can do.
That reminds me of something. That reminds me back in 2015 when Coach Calipari, the head coach of Kentucky, said that We don't want Carl Anthony Towns like scoring like that. Like, that's not what we have him here for. He's here to rebound and to clean up, and yeah, he'll get his touches here and there, but we don't want him being like our lead go-to guy. And now you see what Carl Anthony Towns is, and you're like, was he crazy? And remember, that was a national championship that Kentucky left on the table when they had made a 38 and a goose egg run until they met up with Wisconsin.
And at the same time, look at where Anthony Towns is right now. When you look at the Jimmy Butlers and Andrew Wiggins, and they're not looking to him to go down low and just to be one of the top guys. And he could have benefited them in the long run to maybe extend their playoff run in Minnesota.
I can definitely see that. Is there anything particularly that you saw on my list at by any means? Because let's switch lists. I know we don't have something in here to where we can really have any visual that people can see or anything like that. I think that as far as on your list, Robert Williams was really intriguing for me personally, where you have him slide at number 12. Not that that's a bad pick by any stretch of the imagination. However, don't forget, that was a guy that coming into the college basketball season, he was the reason up next to Tyler Davis to be the guy that was not only considered a top five potential lottery pick, but in addition to that, the reason why Texas A&M started the season out ranked in the top 10. I also see here that you have Colin Sexton being taken just before Trae Young, one spot, number 8 and then number 9.
And I'll tell you the reason.
With Trae Young being the latter. That's what I want to find out.
I think Cleveland, with or without LeBron, because I like the way you threw that caveat in there, with or without LeBron.
With or without.
They're going to need a scorer and someone who can handle the basketball. Now, we all know, I mean, Colin Sexton is a great scorer, and it's a coin toss who's more responsible with the basketball between him and Trae Young. Mm. But I think Trae Young's flash is more so needed towards a New York Knicks team. I think the shine of Trae Young is more appealing in the New York market and what they need, as opposed to Colin Sexton, hard work, grinder. That's going to be what Cleveland needs.
Okay. And I just got two more for you here, two things that just pop out at me. Number one, I had to go here with this. Why you got my boy Miles Bridges all the way at the bottom of the lottery, man? What's going on with that, man?
I love the athleticism, dog. Mm-hmm. I love what he can do. And I was contemplating, the only way I was putting him up was I wanted to put him up with the with the Clippers.
Yeah.
But Clippers, and they could use him. But I think they got a couple other different needs that they could do also.
I'm not mad at that, man. Putting two Sparties. Everybody know I'm a Sparty guy. Right. So putting two Sparties, Gary Harris and Miles Bridges, up right next to each other. Is it just me, or does Miles Bridges remind you a little bit of like a Jay Smooth? Like a Josh Smith. A lefty, big NBA body guy. Got some muscle to him, got some strength, some size.
Someone was trying to give me Jerry Stackhouse, and I thought he was a little more skilled than Stackhouse. Stack developed the jumper, but I didn't view Stack as that much of a skilled guy. I think Miles is a little more advanced in terms of coming out of school than where Stack was.
My very last question about what I see here on your list of your 2018 G-Rob mock draft, hashtag G-Rob mock draft. I see you have Michael Porter Jr. slotted here at number 6. Just curious as to why and what kind of a fit that you think that he is, why you picked him in Orlando.
Orlando, I think Orlando's just one of those teams that wants to get that fire. They need something. They need someone to generate fans to coming out, because right now they don't really have it. So you get Michael Porter, a guy who's supposed to be, or was technically about a year or so ago,
I'm talking about the number one, maybe,
viewed as the end-all, be-all, and they need to roll the dice in that situation. They need to get one of those type of guys to where if he hits, then lights out, somebody's considered a genius. So that was the reason that they have to gamble. Like, sometimes if rent is due,
yep,
I got to make a play right now, and I got to put it all on the line. So I think that's what they're doing with Porter Jr.
My boy G-Rob took it down to the South, man, talking about making plays, bro. That was just a curious question, man. You put somebody like Michael Porter Jr. up next to a Aaron Gordon, man, all you got to do is just throw the ball up towards the – anywhere remotely close to towards the rim, and they're going to finish. Yeah.
if everything is okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. From an injury standpoint and the whole back surgery. And
I can't get past it. Once again, me personally, I can't get past it. So I don't know where. Like you talked about where you would see someone drafted. I don't know where I would draft this guy because I would physically, like, not being able to personally, with my own eyes, not even on a video, be able to see this guy work out. And even that's deceiving because if you're going against air, you know, you can do whatever you want to do. But without being able to put my hands on him, I don't know how he's really feeling. I don't know how he can really, how his back will really react to a lot of the workouts in the 82-game season.
Michael Porter Jr., somebody that's probably, if not the biggest, then certainly one of the biggest question marks in this draft, if you will. That's called rolling the dice, man, taking a gamble. And you spoke a little bit about moving past. Well, before we move past our mock draft part, of course, we're only doing our lottery edition.
Hold up, I want to ask you real quick.
Sure, that's what I was about to get to.
With all, like, everything that I'm seeing and all the hype that I'm hearing, I can't escape him.
Okay.
We talk about him every week. Luka Doncic. I was about to say Luka Doncic. 12 on your list going to the LA Clippers.
If it's the Tate's take mock draft, absolutely.
Why has he fallen? There's no, you don't see anyone that you could think of that he may be able to be in front of in this in your pick, in your eyes?
I think that it starts becoming arguable in some cases once you start getting past probably the Colin Sextons and the Trey Youngs and stuff like that after like 8 or 9. But why he's so high at the top, that's certainly not a part of that. I mean, that's all NBA GM talk right there just based on potential. I don't base NBA draft, my mock draft, off of potential at all. I'm just a strictly what I've seen, what can they come in, step in, and do from a production on the court standpoint. I don't see anything from all of the Luka Doncic that I've seen, not that it was a ton, but of all the Luka Doncic that I've seen nothing that someone on the NBA bench that is a veteran right now cannot give me in that same position.
Wait a minute.
Sure.
On the bench?
Like a non-starter.
Right.
Like a sixth man.
Exactly.
That's a seventh man.
See?
Maybe an eight. But so, I'll just stick with a seven.
So you're saying this guy, basically what you're saying is Luka Doncic, the guy who's the Euro
sensation,
league, MVP, he's tearing it up, he's going to come into the league. And not saying I'm disagreeing with you, I'm just throwing it out there so for people listening. He's going to come into the league and ultimately be a role player probably off of the bench.
Sixth, seventh man at best, G-Rob.
Okay.
That's how I see it.
I just wanted to be
I don't see Luka Doncic coming in and being effective. And to be honest with you, I'm not really sure how effective NBA GMs really think that he can come in and be. Now, if they think he can come in at age 19 with his experience and whatever else that he's bringing to the table that I've seen that I haven't been impressed with, then kudos to them. Unless they're talking about down the line and maybe the kid's going to not necessarily grow, but if the kid's going to, you know, show something different. But this kid, he lacks defense. We talked a little bit about that before.
He's slow afoot. I mean, and that's going to kill you in terms of matchups and how much playing time you get, to your testament.
When I see lacks on defense, when I see lacks elite athleticism.
You said okay.
When I see, I mean,
I thought you things. Meant like lacks, like he doesn't play. When you see, you mean like lacks?
No, not like relax.
Like he lacks.
Like L A C K S. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. If I see somebody like that, we're talking about taking him as high as number two. Now, some people feel like this is a not so great draft, and I don't necessarily feel that way. I think this is a pretty good draft. But I think that it's forward and center heavy, and I think that's why he's getting so much attention. For a guy that can maybe play 1 through 3 in some of his ball handling they say he has, that I don't think will fly over here. It's great if it flies over there. That looks good over in Europe where the pace of the game is a whole lot slower. But one thing, if you don't hear anything else during the NBA draft that I can guarantee you will hear over and over and over again, is two things. Number one, wingspan, and number two, pace of the game. If you ask any rookie what's the biggest transitions for them, they will always tell you that it's been the transition and the speed of the game.
And that's definitely because that's the future of the league. And I agree. I don't see him falling to 12, but I do agree with you in terms of your stance of a lot of the moves and the offensive prowess that he's supposed to possess. I don't think that it's going to – a lot of those moves will fly in the NBA. And not being able to stand in front of some guards, other guards, it's going to kill you. So if we're going to look at it, being his size, will they try to change his position and make him a forward?
Like a small forward?
Right.
Maybe, but I mean, he can't.
But you still.
But he still can't guard.
Right.
When you can't guard, you can't guard. Now, maybe that might be a good situation because the NBA isn't as defensive mindset of the type of game that they run now in comparison to how it used to be back in the day. Now, granted, like I said, this is only Deshaun Tate. If Deshaun Tate was slotting guys in his own mock draft, maybe not the NBA, because this is going to look crazy. For all I know, Luka Doncic might be the first person taken in the NBA during 2000 NBA draft. I know it sounds like a stretch, but he's number two, he's not too far from
transitioning. I mean, according to the Atlanta Hawks GM, Travis Schlink, he says we all know who's going to be drafted first.
I almost kind of feel like if Luka Doncic is there, man, and the Hawks had a pick, I almost really, really feel like that they would still take him. I mean, that's just from a personal perspective.
I'm going to be honest with you. Okay. I feel the same way, and I'm very, very afraid to even put that out in the atmosphere.
Okay, so I should never repeat that.
And please don't, because
– Boy said, please don't.
Because I almost, as I was writing out my mock draft, I almost slotted him at number three, and I really did not want to put that out there.
It was hard for you to put the pen on the paper
words
and put Luka Doncic.
Powerful, and you put that out in the atmosphere, man, it'll circle back, and I didn't want it to bite the Atlanta Hawks. So, no, it's like saying, you know, you wishing bad luck on someone. I don't want it to come around. So, like I said, what you want to do, man? Is it time for a little Hawk talk?
Yeah, man, we can go with the Hawk talk. Let's go ahead and start transitioning over a little bit. Obviously, here at our radio station, on one of the earlier radio shows, they had an opportunity to talk to the current head
GM,
the GM of the Atlanta Hawks, and Travis Schlink, and he had a couple things to say, and some of them being, you know, mentioning that they're down to the three or four guys with the third pick that they consider to be ideal, that there's going to be some options for them to maybe slide back a couple of spots, which might be a little bit of a surprise for some people.
Well, I threw out the option last week of moving. My thing was moving forward to try to get, you know, a more touted player. Maybe not even a one, but try to maybe possibly jump back into the lottery. You know what I'm saying? Like you taking your 19 and your 30 or something like that.
Packaging them up
to try to jump back into that last little bit, that 14, 13 spot possibly.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? To see if you can do something that way. Maybe with a player or whatever. But he's considering doing similar, but just moving back. And that do you think that's what he that's telling you how he feels like a lot of players are viewed in this draft? Like it's a coin toss with a large number of kids in this draft.
I think that that's it, especially after DeAndre Ayton is taken, and in my personal opinion, Marvin Bagley. Like if I'm right about my mock draft and you've got Ayton off the board and you've got Bagley off the board, then like everything else is sort of a coin flip in a sense of, not in a bad way, but just in a sense of you really don't know which pro. We don't know if Miles Bridges is going to be the pro. We don't know if Michael Porter Jr. is going to be the guy. I mean, as crazy it is to think Mo Bamba maybe.
It's all about taste. Really, it's all about taste, and it's all about what you like, because if you value a big defensive presence, then Mo Bamba may be your guy.
For sure.
You know, if that's what you feel like, okay, the future of this league is going to be who can clean up the glass and who can run the floor, then Mo Bamba may be that guy. You know, you may have other guys that come in, and like I said, Bridges may come in, and like I said, we talked about his athleticism, and you compared him to Josh Smith. I had someone compare him to Jerry Stackhouse. If he's one of those guys, if that's what you like, then that's what you'll pick. It's about taste and what you like. You know, you might like Chips Ahoy and I might like Oreos, but, you know, we can all agree to disagree at some point in time. It might be we can have this argument back and forth until we get them on the floor and how they mesh.
What's them real soft ones like the Otis Spunkmeyer?
What do you want? The
chocolate chip.
Oh, yeah, the oldest.
Spunkmeyer joints come right up out the oven?
Yeah.
Or is it the soft batch? You remember the soft batch with the red batch, pepper boys? Look, real soft, boy. You put them things in the milk and they might break off
on
you.
I see you a fan of the Chips Ahoy.
I do a little something. I'm not a big dessert guy, but I do a little something. Yeah. All things considered, and I'm definitely going to give a rundown as to who some of the players are briefly that came in and worked out for the Atlanta Hawks. But I just think that it'll be really interesting with what the Atlanta Hawks decide to do with the pick. I mean, you were just talking about, about the taste. You know,
right.
You bring in a guy like Travis Schlink, so far so good with picking up a couple of guys from last year, which was his rookie year in from a GM standpoint, between Tyler Dorsey and John Collins. And it looks like a pretty good draft so far. Now, with that being said, I mean, he's got some ties with Golden State, and he was the one that helped assist in bringing in the Draymond Greens and the Steph Currys. And I mean, you're talking about even this guy like a Steph Curry. I mean, there's been some talks about the next coming of a Steph Curry being a guy like Trae Young. So that's just something to consider. Just a couple more things that was mentioned. The Hawks have so far worked out 30 to 36 players so far in their pre-draft workouts. That'll continue over the next 3 days. So there'll be roughly about 18 plus players still remaining to be picked. About four to five individual workouts will follow. That'll be coming up next week. And just a couple notes that he mentioned in the interview, that they cannot afford to overanalyze and overvalue 45-minute workouts as GMs in the NBA. One particular guy on our radar is not really higher than another. Last but not least, we have a good feeling about what Phoenix will do. Sacramento is a little bit more of a wild card for us, considering to their decision making, but they do have 3 to 4 options in mind at number 3. However, they're not really ruling out trading down. Is there anything particular that stuck out to you?
No, like I said, we spoke about them considering trading back, but where would you go in this? It's almost kind of speaks to me to say, and this is what I'm hoping. This is just me hoping. If Bagley is not there at 3, then we will consider trading back so that we can possibly get a Jackson and still, or Jackson or a Carter or someone like that, and still be in that lottery range and still get a guy that we want, and hopefully is one of those type guys.
So you're saying package, maybe you're saying maybe pick up a Jaren Jackson at number 3.
I'm saying if Bagley isn't there
if
for
Bagley
us
isn't
at
there.
3,
correct?
Then maybe we could.
Maybe move back.
Move
I don't
back
think Jaren Jackson, but how far back? I don't think.
Well,
a guy
I mean,
like
just
Jaren
standing
Jackson's
like to like 7 or, you know what I'm saying, 6, is like depending on who's interested in the Doncic.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? So that would determine like if you go back to 6 or to 7. I don't think you move back like in terms of going back to 12.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Of
okay.
course not. He's not going to be there. But
okay.
I'm saying just to move back a few places, just so either you can pick up a guy off the bench, a role player, or you pick up an extra pick in the second round or a future pick.
Just wanted to get a little bit of confirmation. Tell me what these names have in common. I'm pretty sure you're going to pick up on every single last one of them. Sheldon Williams, Marvin Williams, Salim Stoudemire, A.C. Law, John Jenkins, Adrian Payne, and Boris Diaw to run your point guard.
Do you?
I'm not trying to pick.
You just like her. Poking at me, you just like you hitting me in the face with each one of them.
But and
as a Hawks fan, you just basically punched me in the face. How many names you just named?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Yeah,
that's
you hit me with a good 7 piece right here because I was here for most of the Billy Knight years, for all of the Billy Knight years, and a lot of those guys were picked in the Billy Knight years.
Mm-hmm.
And we could have had so many other guys. Like,
oh, don't even start with that. Because I told you where I was at with my Darko Milicic when Wade and Melo
so
was still there.
So many other players. And it just hurts. And I just like to say, with Travis Schlink being a part of the new regime, I would like to believe that a lot more wiser decisions will be made going in the future, as opposed to being haunted by picks of past draft.
Sure thing. I'm glad you said that, man. That's good. I mean, over the last 20 years, you think about who the best pick that they have had is probably Al Horford,
right?
I would imagine, which was really good for them, by the way. But that just goes to show. Josh Smith wasn't bad.
But he wasn't. I put Al as the best, though.
The best
I would agree
one.
With
he
you
was
on
the
that.
Number 2 pick. In who are we looking at? 2007 NBA draft, something like that. Either way, you know, that just goes to show to the people that are listening that, you know, the Atlanta Hawks, as we talked about on previous podcasts, has to be one of those teams that has to make a for sure splash in this draft coming up. As far as a couple of players that have worked out for the Atlanta Hawks so far in some of their pre-draft workouts, Kyren Bowman, Carson Edwards, Karam Cantor, Dorian Pickens, Tremont Waters, Kenrich Williams, Jacob Evans, Devontae Graham, Nick King, Jeff Roberson, Landry Shamet, Zach Thomas is another one, Raleigh Alkins, Jalen Brunson, Tony Carr, Gary Clark, Aaron Holiday, Jawan Morgan, and then, of course, coming up today in today's and today's workouts, obviously, was Trevon Blewett from Xavier, Elijah Brown from Oregon, Melvin Frazier from Tulane, Yonte Maton from Georgia. We'll talk about that a little bit. Elijah Stewart from USC, and familiar name, last name Wilkins, the stepson of Dominique Wilkins, Isaiah Wilkins. I think, obviously, one of the names that stick out here to me as far as who came in today, a guy that averaged 19 points per game, almost 9 rebounds per game, second leading scorer at UGA.
Right.
Led the conference in double-doubles, scoring in double-doubles, rather, Yonte Maton. Is that realistic to you to maybe see a spot? Like, do you think that there's genuine interest, or is that just one of those hometown deals since he's close to home?
I think it's genuine interest. Anytime you have a guy who can score, like, every team can use that. And I mean, we're not talking about a first-round pick, so – I think in the second round, if you can get a guy who can score in the second round, you can always use that.
One of my biggest concerns about him probably is just that I don't know where you put him, because I think that he's a small four, even though basketball is kind of going back into the small ball range. But I think particularly this class is definitely showing that we're kind of going to slowly but surely get back into the big man era at some point after the whole Embiid. You got Ayton. I mean, you got a couple guys that's going to be standing there that can kind of bring that center position back that seemed like it's been extinct for so long.
But the thing is, if the Hawks are going to be an up-and-down squad, I think what you can do is you kind of – that 240 number is kind of what's sticking out at me. If you can bring that down a little bit just by having him run up and down the floor, I think he might not have a problem too much at small forward, just because and he keep that strength. If he's 6'8", 230, just dropping off 10 pounds, and he's able to keep some – because he's a strong young man. You got to keep some of that strength. Then I think defense-wise, he's okay. And offense-wise, he'll still be able to put up some numbers.
Also noting Isaiah Wilkins from Virginia was the ACC Defensive Player of the Year, not only the stepson of Dominique Wilkins, but is a native of Atlanta, Georgia, from GAC, Greater Atlanta Christian. Two more things real quick before we get ready to run up out of here, because I know that we're up against it a little bit. Travis Schling also mentioned in his interview earlier today that they are locked in right now and focused on the number 3 and the number 19 pick, not so much the number 30 and the number 33 pick, that focus will be geared a little bit more towards that in the coming days. But he did speak on another guy when asked about Georgia Tech's Josh Okogie, who obviously had a really good NBA draft combine and some of the skills and agility of that nature. Said that he has underestimated athleticism, really good strength, really good size. All those things are a plus. He's just unsure if he's a first-round pick, and the Hawks haven't really considered him a whole lot, even though they, you know, brought him in for a workout.
I think what that says to me a lot is that the Atlanta Hawks are really, like you said, are really focused on the 3rd and 19 pick. And then from 30 and, you know, 34, you're looking for the best available. Pretty much. Mm-hmm. You're looking at the best available and what the guys have to offer. So if you have a guy who, like you said, who, like a Yonte Maton, like a Isaiah Wilkins, like a Blewett, like, I mean, a guy who can shoot.
Mm-hmm.
You have a guy, some of these guys who are still there, and you're like, well, shoot, you know, they're questionable first-round talent. I pick them up.
Besides the fact that that I'm a little – I don't know how concerned to be about this, but Mo Wagner from Michigan was supposed to come in today. Obviously no word on why he didn't. Simons also didn't a couple weeks ago, high school senior. not really sure what's going on, but maybe they're, you know, just maybe not interested. I'm not sure if you're a guy like a Wagner that is not a lock for a first round, I'm not sure if you can really be in a position to be affording to be missing, you know, workouts with NBA teams to
right.
leave yourself
yeah,
a job.
Yeah, you need to get in front of everybody you possibly can.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Social medias real quick. First of all, appreciate everybody for checking us out, man. That's me, D. Tate, Deshaun Tate, my boy G. Rob, Gordon Robinson. Check me on social media. That is on IG as well as the Twitter at Tate's Take Sports, TateStake Sports, as well as the show Twitter handle at Hit Hardwood 929. That is at HitHardwood. There we go.
Say that again.
At HitHard, right?
Right.
WOOD.
Okay. Okay. Just. It sounded a little funny at first. You know, I just want to make sure.
You got to watch for the city slickers. You're a country boy, man. City slickers, you
know,
talk fast.
It sounded, oh, I don't know if that was fast or if that was.
Or if I misspelled it.
Right.
You're talking to a spelling bee champ right here, man. Fifth grade, sixth grade. Anyways, go ahead, G-Rob, with the Twitter.
Well, you can always look out for me, man. I'm on Twitter at G-RobinsonSports. Holler at me on IG at G-Robinson_sports. So, just holler at me, man. And like you said, at HitHardwood929.
You ain't going to spell it, though.
I mean, I can spell it out.
You ain't going to spell the way I spell it.
That's a tongue twister. I don't need right a double U, double O, humpback, crooked letters.
All good, man. Appreciate everybody for checking us out. Well, we do this every week, leading all the way up through the NBA draft and up through the summer league, both Utah and Las Vegas. So next week, I think we'll get into slots 15 through 30.
We can 30. Go right up to 30, right.
Yeah, 15 through 30. And then next week, we'll finish up before the draft hits, just pinpointing some little pieces, some couple little names that we noticed in the second round. Appreciate everybody for listening. And I think that's all our time. We'll get up out of here.
Cool. See you
in a minute.